Thank you for having me. So I want to talk about abstract lists. Go through this agenda, give a brief introductions to why abstract lists or what this is about. Just a quick refresher of the TCL, what a TCL list, what an abstract list wants to be, why it's important to have it. And there's some critical things that people need to know that are, if you're using the C interface at all with TCL, you need to know this information for 9.0. Okay. So I found this quote on the Tickler chat just a few weeks ago from, I think it's Mark Jensen. So I've worked with two tools that use TCL and implement the concept of collections, which are basically sets of elements where each element has a very complex description. In one of them, collections had string representations, so you could use them as lists. But transforming them into lists had a high cost. So my understanding is that the tool created versions of several commands, like lapand, lindex, etc., that bypassed TCL's native implementation. Now, this struck me, and why I put this up here is because I saw the same thing in my career, interfacing Tickle with applications. So embedding Tickle into an application, we have custom data in the application that we want Tickle to have access to. And it also occurs with extensions like VecTickle that has custom data representation, but should be usable with lists, but when you do that, things happen that affects performance. And so, as a reminder, TCL list is implemented internally as an array of values. And you can index the list, index into the array. So the indexing operation is very fast. But the object values can be heavy in certain situations, especially if the list is very large. And the object representation, as a reminder, is this two-prong model, the Stork model has two legs. There's a string representation and an internal representation. And for the list, the internal representation is this array. And why they call it a Stork model is because you can have one value, like the string, or the internal representation, or both, in the object. So, and then the way you access values, or you access a TCL list, is through these commands like lsearch, lindex, lrange, for each, etc. An abstract list tries to separate the data value, how that's managed, from those accessor functions. Right now, back up, I think I said that. For the current TCL list, these commands here, the lsearch, lsort, etc., are tied tightly to that data model of an array structure. And so an abstract list wants to separate that, make the data management independent from how the commands manage it. So there's what's introduced, what's new in 9.0 is a set of protocol functions that allow you to re-implement the data. And I have some examples here, like maybe an RB tree instead of an array, or a hash table or whatever. It can even be a function. That's what the f of x is. So the values, in that case, can be computed on the fly. So you don't have anything, any storage. You have an index, and then you compute some value that that index represents and return that instead. Now, there's the caveat, there's the expectation within TCL that a string representation, you know, is consistent, it's constant, because the value is not supposed to change unless you specifically change it, then that becomes a new value. So if you're doing a function, you don't want to call rand, because every time you call it, you're going to get a different value for the same index. And that sort of violates the intent of a list, right? That's just a cautionary. You can go ahead and try it, but I'm not going to guarantee that your program is going to work very reliably. So that's what that last thing's about. In TCL 9, there is a new command, LSEQ, or it's a list sequence. It's a sequence of integers. This is an abstract list implementation. So given just a starting number, an ending number, and a step value, there's some default scenarios with that too. Based on the index, it'll just compute a value. So if you index index 3 into this list, you know, it'll return 16. But it does that by computing the value 16, you know, from an equation. So the benefit there is that you're not taking up storage. So your list can be billions of elements long. But to create that list, it takes the same amount of time as if the list was one element long. For a command that just generates a sequence of integers, who cares, right? That doesn't really matter. But you can imagine scenarios where you have a list of very complex data, multidimensional data, that you may have a very specialized use case for. Then this kind of thing can become very powerful and has opportunities for performance improvements. So the last number is?
It's not so important. LSEC 2.15 should be 25, yes.
I had one case, and I thought, well, I should put a step in there, and I stuck the step in and did that really quickly. Sorry. Thanks for catching that. I should have used tickle to do the slides. Okay. So here's the warning. That if you're interfacing with through the C API and using you're calling like list obj index in tickle and TCL 8 if you're indexing into a list you'll get back an object value that is guaranteed to have a ref count of 1 and so you can write your code you get this value back you use the value and then you just ignore it. And there's no memory leak. With the LSEQ command and any future abstract list implementation, if it generates the thing on the fly, the object on the fly, it's not going to hold a reference to it. So you can end up getting back, handed back an obj value with a ref count of 0. And as the caller of the function, you're responsible for managing that memory. Just like in the case of with the regular TCL list, you get back an object and you save it for use later. You're responsible for incrementing the ref count, and then when you're done with it, you decrement the ref count. But if you have code where you don't hold on to it, you can't just assume that the ref count is 1 anymore with 9. It could be 0. Consequently, you could do the increment ref count and decrement ref count in your code. You'd have to add those. But there's a new API call with a tickle bump. When you're done, you just call tickle bump. And if it's ref count of 0, it'll release the memory. If it's not 0, it just leaves it alone. I think of it as bump. If the object is not tethered to something else and you bump it, it'll fall down. Okay. I like short names also. All right. So if you're transitioning to 9 and you use the C APIs, comb through your code and make sure you're doing proper ref counting of your tickle objects. In some cases, what abstract does is it prevents or limits the number of times that a value can shimmer from one type to another type, and that's where all your cost goes. So if you have a list, so I'll take the VecTickle example. VecTickle, you create a matrix value, and then you use a list command on that matrix value. It'll convert that entire value into a list. And then when that list goes back to VecTickle, VecTickle has to then convert it back to a VecTickle value and then do the math on it. And so by implementing VecTickle using abstract lists, then you eliminate that transition. With abstract lists, you don't have to define all the protocol functions. If you leave some out, what will happen is the list commands, script level commands, will just fall back to the traditional list behavior of converting that type back to a list form so it can perform the operation. So in this case, the sequence command generates a proper sequence, but then uses an LSET on it, and the sequence command does not support an LSET operation. It'll then shimmer or convert that value to a TCL list, and you get a string representation like that. So as I said, what this allows is the possibilities of improving storage space requirements for a value. It gives you more flexibility in how values are accessed and managed, even the ability to compute things on the fly, compute values on the fly. And it eliminates the need to actually implement a variant of the list or a mimic of the list that script level commands, which would complicate trying to write scripts when using some extension or some embedded application. In 9, we took advantage of the abstract list implementation for all the scalar values predefined in Tickle, so an integer, int, double, I forget some of the others, but all the simple scalar values, wide int, yeah. It defines the list length function. It says this is a list of one, and in the list code it says, well, it's only a list of one, so I don't have to convert it to a list because a list of one is the scalar itself. And in TCL 8, it actually does convert an int to a list. That's just one element, and so you end up with this. It's a low-cost shimmering, but it is shimmering back and forth if you use list commands, and this is just an example of... And I've seen code like this, and it's a reasonable thing to do to use list length on a value to see how many, whether it is a list or just a scalar, and make decisions on that. And that to me seems like a reasonable thing to do. So stopping the shimmering in that case is a good thing, is a gain. So this is just a couple examples of existing packages that can benefit from abstract lists, greatly improve the performance by preventing the shimmering taking place. And I know there's lots and lots of others out there that can also benefit. So this is the list of abstract list functions, those protocol functions. So there's the length, index, slice, which is the L range, reverse, get elements, the set element, and replace. So this is the current list. This may grow in the future. And I can envision at some point growing this into dictionaries and maybe some variants of strings or some other things. But for now, getting more experience with this list of functions will take us a long way. The other thing about this list, And I probably have a slide about that. Okay. So the when you define a custom type, you have to create this Tickle-Obj type definition. And this is how you inform the Tickle interpreter how to manage the memory, the value memory, the memory for the value. So the original obj type definition had these four functions and a name. And in TCL9, there's now a version field in the structure. And then following that are all the function pointers that the custom type has to define. And there's a set of macros for setting the version field and for setting up the structure. So obj type V0 is what the existing obj types are today. They have no extra functionality. V1 is that special case where you just have a list length of one for scalar values. And then V2 is the full abstract list set of functions. Now, if you look closely, which you can when you look at the paper later, the profile of these protocol functions exactly match the public CAPI functions. So if your C code is calling the TCL listobj lindex function, it's going to call using the exact same arguments. And for your custom type, when you're writing a custom type, you have to reply accordingly to that function. If a function is missing, if the function pointer is null, it's going to just revert back to the traditional TCL list behavior for that operation, which means it's going to shimmer the value. So the only function that's not optional is the list length. Every list operation, no matter what you're doing, relies on the list length function. So if you have any list functions at all, you have to have the list length function. If you don't have the list length function, then it doesn't matter whether you have the other one set or not. They won't be called. I have some examples you can peruse. I threw together a bunch of really simple toys demonstrating what you can do with an abstract list. You know, they're not production ready. They're just toys that you can play with. So they probably have bugs in them too. So you can look at there. It's on GitHub. And there is a fork of VecTickle with uses abstract lists. I did some experiments with it. And I haven't updated it with the most recent mainline, so it probably still builds, but I wouldn't guarantee it 100%. When I get home, I'm going to go and update that as well. And again, I want to remind you that the ref count issue, if you're using the CAPIs, whether it's an extension or an embedded application, make sure you're using proper ref count management on the Tickle-Obj. Otherwise, you'll end up with memory leaks. Okay. When you compile your code, you'll probably get a compiler warning, but if you do have a Tickle-Obj type defined in your code somewhere, you'll have to add the version field to the definition. All this work was thought up by others, and they're mentioned in these tips. And so that's where I learned about this stuff and where the implementation came out of, the ideas anyway. The creativity came from Alexandria, Salvatore, and Miguel. So thank them. So, any questions?
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, are there any questions? Well, first, go up there. First question from Markus Wagner.
Yes, thank you. I have a lot of short questions. I find it very, very interesting, this concept of abstract lists. First of all, I would like to ask, is it on the horizon to be able to implement an abstract list from within a Tickle script itself? Like basically, I mean, you would be able to expose this C API probably somehow, but...
I've thought about that. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be hard to do. But I was leery of going that far now. I think we should get some experience with others experiment, because I can't think of every scenario that could fall apart and for what reason. So I'd like to see people write to me and say, this broke and I can't get this to work. What's going on? And I did think about that scenario and it should work if you set it up right.
When you call LMAP on such an abstract list, you get back a normal list, probably, right?
On a LMAP and for each are essentially the same, same thing. So you don't get shimmering or changes. Is that the question?
So the result of LMAP will be the same abstract list type. I mean, it will not shimmer as the argument, but the result right after the mapping, the return.
No, yes, you're correct. The result will be a list. Whether the elements are converted or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because reminded of the link feature in C#, for example, where you get you have the select method. And then you get an IEnumerable, which is like your abstract list that basically is like a, it's sort of like a generator in Python, for example.
Yeah.
And my third question is about, are there any plans to integrate this with coroutines?
With coroutines?
Like use coroutines as generators to get values out of them.
Well, sure. Well, actually, there's if you look on the abstract list toys, on GitHub, there is an LGen implementation, and what LGen does is the argument to LGen is Tickle script, so a lambda.
Yeah.
And so that's.
Yeah, that's basically that. It's
basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the lambda could call a coroutine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Markus. Next one is Rolf Ade.
Just a detailed question, perhaps I'm just dumb wrong. I wonder why you invented the tickle bump object function. If I remember right, you can use tickle decrement number on a tickle object with ref count 0.
So, one of the arguments for not doing reference management, ref count management, with when you're doing list operations with a list, is because it's well known that the list itself already holds a reference to it. So if you're not going to do anything with it after you're done consuming the value, you just ignore all ref count management. And you can run, I know there's code all over the place that does that. They get an element from a list, they consume the value, and then they just ignore the reference. And so you can put the increment in and then the decrement, but that's several memory references more than you need in the code. So it's been argued that not doing the ref count management is a performance improvement because you're relying on the fact that it already is being managed by the list itself.
Perhaps I'm wrong, but I think you can increment, you can tickle, decrement ref count on a tickle object with ref count zero.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, this is conditional.
That's the missing point. Thanks, that answers the question.
Sorry, thank you for explaining that.
Next one is Andreas.
Okay, now that we have established the meaning and the goodness of the bump count, the question is, would it make sense to backport this even to Tigre 8? I think it might be useful. I think I've overheard conversations that might have been solved by a bump count even in older versions than 9. That's the first question. I have another question afterwards.
Just the bump function, or
the bump function specifically? Yes.
It's a trivial function. You could throw it in there. It shouldn't. I see no problem in backporting the bump obj function back to 8. I wouldn't put abstract list back to 8 because it's too disruptive because of the obj type change.
Okay. It's not there.
Next one is Colin.
Hi. Just again on the bump object thing, I'm just concerned that the name could be confusing. In my experience, a lot of people use bump to mean increment, increase by one, but that's not what's happening here. I think, I'm just concerned that that's a confusing name.
No, bump, I've seen bump used in other places usually means to increment, to increment the value, where this bump is actually decrementing a value. So
it's
a bounce that goes up and then down again.
Right.
I mean, if you're sorry.
Reinhard.
Yeah. Initially, I was thinking the same when I read bump. So what's the difference between increment and bump? And you have to know the concept that we were telling, that bump means just push it. If it's attached to anything, it would hold up, and if it's not, it will fall down. But
exactly.
Without that background, I would also think of bump. In terms of increase. So yeah, maybe we can come up with a better name that's more obvious to those not initiated to the concept.
If you want to give me some names, I will fight to change it. We can certainly. There's still a window to do that. And I mentioned this on the Tickle Core when the vote went out for the tip. Crickets. So I left it at bump.
Next one is Gustav.
Just a short question, not concerning bump. I mean, the version number you have there, I mean, what is the intention of calling it version number? I mean, it seems to me like a type. I mean, type in the sense of what kind of function list do I expect afterwards?
So the version number in the tickle obj type structure is just like the version number in the channel IO structure. So it reserves the right to change that structure in any way we want to in the future. And so the version will indicate how to read the rest of the structure. And that's all it's implied to do.
I mean, I think I've not closely followed the discussion between abstract list and abstract whatever I think object it was called. I mean, the list of operations are pretty much bound to what you expect on the list, but sometimes you have objects where you have functions for completely other, let's say, mechanisms. That means if this would be something also like a type indicating this is a list function here coming up, then you can more or less also trigger, use it afterwards for different kind of, let's say, extensions.
I don't think I can predict what kind of changes would be made to that particular structure in the future. So by having a version, you could completely rearrange things in that structure and move the version to a different version. And then the rest of the system will know how to read the structure. And you can then conditionally code around it if need be. So it's very simple. It's hard to predict the future, so that's why it's just a simple number.
But also notice is a size T is quite large, therefore it's room for also other bits which can be used for expressing kind of information what to expect in this list afterwards. But it's just curious what the intention of the size T was.
The size of the...
The version number is of type size T, I think, to remember.
Oh, that's really just an alignment issue. You're going to waste the space anyway if you make it smaller. And so we just left it. It's just simple. It's just the size T.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks again. Andreas Leitgeb again. On the come together, I already raised the topic in a small talk that probably the structure should have one more extension to accommodate for the in operator within expr. So for a check, is a specific value contained in the list?
Yep.
Can you?
I'm going to take a look at that and we'll see what happens.
So thank you all for the comments. It's great. And thanks again to Brian.